Christ is the light of the world. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening, and the day is almost over. Let your light scatter the darkness. Joyous light of glory of the immortal Father, heavenly, holy, blessed Jesus Christ, we have come to the setting of the sun, and we look to the evening light. We sing to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are worthy of being praised with pure voices forever. O Son of God, O Giver of life, the universe proclaims your glory. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. For you are merciful, and you love your whole creation, and we, your creatures, glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We sing this song.
Up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
Let us pray. Let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, O Lord, and let your loving kindness descend on us, that with purified minds we may sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host, and may glorify you forever.
The additional psalm is verses from 103, and remember that Joy will play the tone for us once, and then we'll sing it responsibly, but a cappella, without the accompaniment.
Of your steadfast love, that we may flourish with you forever. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
1 Samuel, the third chapter. Now the young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or a strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people."
O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. 3 years ago, our 4 midweek Advent evening prayer services focused on what I called Old Testament divine birth announcements. One by the Lord himself, misunderstood of Cain. 2 by the angel of the Lord of Isaac and of Samson, and 1 by Eli the priest of Samuel. In various ways, those 4 Old Testament divine birth announcements pointed forward to the 3 New Testament divine birth announcements that our 3 midweek Advent evening prayer services will focus on this year under the theme Angels of Advent. Tonight's first of the 3 services centers on how Gabriel appears to Zechariah, the account of which we heard narrated in tonight's 2nd reading. Tonight's first reading's account of the Lord's appearing to Samuel in some way compares and contrasts to Gabriel's appearing to Zechariah. In each case this year, our attention should be not primarily on the messenger, but on the message, which tonight is ultimately a message of repentance, particularly suited to our penitential season of Advent. As we heard in the first reading, Samuel was already ministering to the Lord under the priest Eli, but Samuel did not yet
have a personal experience with direct revelation from the Lord, such as by a direct word or vision. So one night when Samuel heard a voice while he was lying down, apparently in the court of the tabernacle where the ark of God was, Samuel naturally assumed the voice was Eli calling him. After three tries, Eli helped Samuel understand that the Lord was calling Samuel, so that when the Lord, perhaps the pre-incarnate Son of God, who is the Word, came and stood and called the fourth time, Samuel answered as Eli had told Samuel to answer. "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears," or as it is sometimes translated, "is listening." So the Lord told Samuel the judgment that he was going to bring upon Eli's family, because Eli had not successfully restrained his sons from blaspheming God. And the next day, Samuel confirmed that judgment for Eli. Then the Lord continued to reveal himself to Samuel, who had been born of a line of Levites, with the Lord using Samuel as a prophet, as a priest, as a judge or leader, and ultimately as a king maker, with Samuel's first anointing Saul, and then anointing David, even as Zechariah's son, John the Baptizer, centuries later anointed David's descendant, Jesus. As we heard in the second reading, Zechariah was serving as a priest before God when he was chosen by lot to enter the temple near where the ark of God would have been and to burn incense, what apparently would have been a rare privilege, a high point of Zechariah's life. While Zechariah was doing so, the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah, or caused himself to be seen by Zechariah. Gabriel spoke to Zechariah the good news that Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, both from the priestly line of Aaron, would have a son who would go before the Lord to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. But somewhat like Sarah with Abraham centuries before him, Zechariah doubted that the Lord could fulfill his promise that he and Elizabeth would have a child. In some sense, both Samuel and Zechariah heard the divine messenger sent to them. A distinction between hearing and listening that is sometimes made is that hearing is an involuntary, passive function of sound entering the ears that requires no effort or concentration, while listening is a voluntary, active skill of paying attention to sounds with thoughtful concentration. We might further distinguish understanding and heeding or obeying what is said. Samuel arguably heard, listened to, understood, and heeded the Lord, while Zechariah arguably heard, listened to, and understood Gabriel, but did not heed him with a response of faith and obedience, at least not immediately. Like Zechariah, we may question what is and is not possible for the Lord in our lives. Like Samuel, we may not yet know the Lord as well as we could. And on our own, of course, we do not know the Lord at all. We may expect divine messengers and divine messages apart from God's holy place and his holy word. We may hear, listen to, and understand, but not heed God's word with faith and obedience. And without his Holy Spirit, of course, we cannot understand his word, much less believe and obey it. As we sang in tonight's additional psalm, our days are like grass, here and flourishing one minute and gone and forgotten the next. But the steadfast love, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear or believe in him. Though our sinful natures and actual sins warrant temporal death and eternal damnation, when enabled by the Holy Spirit, we turn in sorrow from our sin and trust God to forgive our sin, then God forgives us, our sinful natures and all our actual sin, whatever those actual sins might be, for Jesus' sake. In tonight's first reading, the Lord told Samuel that the iniquity of Eli's house would never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. The case was not that Eli's sons had committed some unforgivable sin in such things as taking more than their share of the offerings or laying with the women who were serving at the entrance to the tabernacle. But the case was that if Eli's sons had repented, then they could have been forgiven, redeemed from their sin by the promise of the God-man Jesus Christ's sacrifice of himself on the cross for the sins of the world. Just as we who repent are forgiven, redeemed by the fulfillment of the God-man Jesus Christ's sacrifice of himself on the cross for the sins of the world. As their father had warned, Eli's sons had lost their mediator and intercessor before God, as people likewise do today when they blaspheme or reject the Holy Spirit, the only truly unforgivable sin, because their rejection keeps them from receiving through faith God's forgiveness of all of their sins by grace for the sake of Jesus Christ. Out of God's great love, Zechariah's son John the Baptizer was sent, as pastors today are sent, to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just or righteous. As we sang in tonight's additional psalm, God's righteousness is to children's children, those who keep or guard his covenant. God creates and sustains saving faith, and so forgives sins through his word in all of its forms, especially his word in the form of the sacraments. For some time, there has been audio and video recordings of people reading the Bible. But with the development of computer and phone applications and websites where an artificially generated voice recites the Bible, we have seemed to cross some sort of line. For any artificial intelligence, the AI does not know what the words mean or are. We might not know exactly which of the many and various ways that God spoke to his people of old by the prophets was how God spoke to prophets such as Samuel by his word. But we arguably know that God does not speak to us through some disembodied voice. In both tonight's first and second readings, there seem to be divine physical presences, whether perhaps the pre-incarnate Son of God or the angel Gabriel, both were likely in the form of a human man who spoke from the Lord. Likewise today, human male pastors who similarly are authoritatively sent by the Lord read and preach God's word to groups such as this one. And they apply God's gospel to individuals with water in holy baptism, with touch in holy absolution, and with the bread that is Christ's body given for us, and with wine that is Christ's blood shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. In all of these ways, we hear and see and touch the word of life that has been made manifest to us in order that we may have fellowship with God and with one another. Gabriel's news of John the Baptizer's birth not only gave Zechariah and Elizabeth joy and gladness, but many others also rejoiced at John and eventually Jesus' birth, including us. As we in tonight's additional psalm called the angels to bless or praise the Lord, that same psalm in verses that we did not sing tonight also calls us, our own souls, to praise the Lord, even as it spoke of our keeping his covenant by remembering to do his commandments. God's angels should not be the only ones obeying the voice of his word. Ultimately, we recognize, as Eli did, that the Lord will do what seems good to him. And like Elizabeth, we realize that our reproach is taken away in God's way and time. Tonight we have begun this year's midweek Advent focus on the angels of Advent with how Gabriel appears to Zechariah. We've realized both our sin and God's forgiveness for Jesus' sake. The next 2 weeks we will consider in turn how Gabriel comes to the Virgin Mary and how an angel appears to Joseph. May we thus be prepared with repentance to celebrate our Christmas observance of our Lord's having come once in the past to save us, to receive our Lord as he comes to us in his word and sacraments repeatedly in the present in order to forgive us, and to be with our Lord when he comes a final time in the future to dwell with us in glory forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the canticle.
Cast
down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers Abraham and to his seed forever. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my
Savior. Stand for prayer.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. For Matthew and John, for all pastors in Christ, for all servants of the church, and for all the people, let us pray to the Lord. For Donald and Greg, for all public servants, for the government and those who protect us, that they may be upheld and strengthened in every good deed, let us pray to the Lord. For those who work to bring justice, peace, health, and protection in this and every place, let us pray to the Lord. For those who bring offerings, those who do good works in this congregation, those who toil, those who sing, and all the people here present who await from the Lord great and abundant mercy, let us pray to the Lord. For favorable weather, for an abundance of the fruits of the earth, and for peaceful times, let us pray to the Lord. For our deliverance from all affliction, wrath, danger and need. Let us pray to the Lord. For all those for whom our prayers have been requested, let us pray to the Lord. For the faithful who have gone before us and are with Christ, let us give thanks to the Lord. Alleluia. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our Lord. To you, O Lord. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Gracious God, you send messengers to declare your judgment on sin and to effect your forgiveness for Jesus' sake. Help us always to hear, listen to, understand, and heed your word, that our hearts might be turned and we might be for you a people prepared. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father,
Please be seated a moment. I want to thank Joy, for operating the substitute market service tonight. I was looking at Melody thinking about the soup, but I was going to say Joy eventually.
Oh, sure.
So I just did it in the opposite order, tried to do it in the opposite order. We do appreciate the soup and the bread and the cake. It's all very good. I also appreciate Joy operating the substitute organ service. We are going to be probably using that a little bit more regularly, trying to get a laying stand or rest at least once a month. So we will become more familiar with it, hopefully, and other people other than Joy will be able to operate it from time to time as well. And it won't always be, obviously, evening prayer, but Sunday in a couple weeks it'll be Sunday morning. Which is more familiar for people, I think, anyway. Other announcements, normal stuff on Sunday, 15-2 afterwards.
I'll come up with a side dish for the second Sunday.
The next week, which will be the
Congregational
Christmas party, and the ladies are providing turkey.
And ham.
So think of fixings for turkey and ham. Cranberries, yes.
Carry on.
Okay. I'll carry on.
Cranberry on.
Tracy, our member, had a procedure on Monday and was doing well. When I left her from her on Monday, Joy has heard since that she's had some complications. Steve, our regular visitor, was hoping to be downgraded from rehab hospital to skilled nursing. We were expecting that he was going to be downgraded, but instead they moved him to acute care, which was not the direction they expected him to go. And then Lana Carter, who we just received as a new member on Sunday, is having stents put in her heart tomorrow morning in Dallas. She has some complications, so it's not just your routine. Is that shocking now that we can say that a stent procedure is a routine procedure?
Yeah.
Hers will not be exactly the routine. I will am planning on being there with the family in the morning. So if you're looking for me tomorrow, I'll be down. Any other announcements? Glad that Nolan and Amelie are back from break and we get to see them for like another week.
Yeah.
2 weeks, maybe 1 week.
Maybe.
Let's see how good we are, whether we get blessed with their presence or tears. All right. I look forward to reading all of them.